Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Winning is fun, and the sole reason I'm playing is because I want to win, and I want to bring home medals. But it's also nice to be able to go see countries and places that I probably would never go to if field hockey didn't take me there. So there is a happy balance, I believe, with playing Masters field hockey between being a tourist and being able to see things, but knowing when it's time to get down to business.
And our guest this week is Heather Long. She is an assistant field hockey coach at Division III Ursinus College, still playing field hockey herself at a high level. And she is an expert when it comes to goalkeeping. And Heather, thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome.
So let's start. In addition to all the field hockey, you're also a police officer, a detective. Kind of just talk about how you juggle these two very different paths of life.
You know, it does make for long days, but thankfully I have a understanding support staff at work that allows me to adjust my schedule to make all of the practices when necessary. Sometimes I do miss them, but during the season, particularly when there's practices or games, it makes for about a 12 to 14 hour day, but that is totally worthwhile. You know, in both aspects, I'm helping different parts of the community.
And you're a homicide detective, correct?
That is correct.
So I would imagine, given what you probably see sometimes, field hockey is an incredible release for you, not just because you love it, just because it is something you can maybe pour into that isn't what I would imagine could be an incredibly distressing and emotionally draining job.
Absolutely. Whether I'm playing or coaching, especially when I'm playing for that hour that I'm on the field, I only have to focus on that little ball moving for an hour, and it gives my mind a break from work or trial or the cases that we currently have. And when I'm at practice, it's refreshing to see young women that are striving to make the most of themselves and become productive members of society. And knowing that I get to help them achieve their goals also is helpful for me to take a break from what I see every day.
How much does field hockey make you a better detective? Just because you have that completely separate thing that allows you to, if not recharge, just maybe take that deep professional breath.
I tell my boss every day that without field hockey, and I also still play softball, without both of those things in my life, I don't think I would be able to be as good as a detective for him as I am today while playing those sports, because it gives me a time to socialize and interact with people who aren't police officers or aren't people on their worst day of their lives. I get to interact with young women who are enjoying themselves playing a sport that we have in common, or I get to travel to places that give me a full break. When we travel internationally, I can't check my emails, which is very helpful.
So let's talk about your backstory. Growing up, were you all sports all the time?
Yeah, since I was 5 years old, I started playing soccer and softball. At around 12 years old, I had a knee problem, and the doctor told me that I couldn't run as much if I wanted to keep playing softball. So I decided to stop playing soccer, which was the sport that I enjoyed most. At about that age, we switched school districts, where I went from Souderton to Pottsgrove. While at Pottsgrove, some of my friends were like, you want to play field hockey? And I had no idea what that sport was. So I said, sure, why not? And I immediately became a goalkeeper because I was good with my feet and did not want to wear a kilt, to be quite honest. So I have been a goalkeeper ever since. I've never played the field in field hockey, and I continued to play softball and field hockey through today.
Did you fall in love with field hockey right away, or was there did it take a little while to warm up to the sport?
I would say I didn't really start enjoying field hockey probably till I graduated college. I played field hockey. I played both field hockey and softball in college. I, now looking back, wish I would have just played field hockey. I don't think I was able to reach my full potential in that sport because I was playing softball in the spring. I didn't have time to train appropriately for field hockey in the spring. But now that I'm out of college and I focus more so now on field hockey, I definitely enjoy field hockey more now than I enjoy softball.
So having never played the field and just jumping into being a goalie, was it just at first just, all right, they're shooting the ball at me, I'm going to stop it? Like, was it that primitive as far as your how you kind of approached being a goalkeeper?
I would say that was my mindset / skill set all the way through the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. Field hockey tends to not have many assistant coaches, especially depending on what school district you're at or even colleges. So it was just our head coach for the most part in high school. And I'd been going to softball camps and mainly focusing on softball until between my junior and senior year, I went to a field hockey camp where I got specialized goalkeeper training. And it was at that point that I was like, oh, there's a little more to this than just throwing your body around like a maniac trying to stop the ball.
What were some of the things that the tools you were given there that kind of opened your eyes? Like, you know, was it just playing angles and balance, stuff like that? Were there a few things that you're like, oh, now it all makes sense?
Yeah, the angles was the big thing. I had no idea really what that meant. I guess I grasped it slightly from soccer, but it was different. So we really went over angles, the proper way to do a split save, get up from a split save, the proper way to dive so you don't, you know, injure your arms or your back, which as a young child or a teenager, it's not as important as being a 40-year-old. So I think it was mainly the angles and how to communicate with your defense, probably.
So you went to Mansfield, correct, for college?
Yeah.
And you played, as you mentioned, field hockey and softball. That's a full plate for any level athlete. And I assume you were pursuing a criminal justice degree at the same time?
That's correct, with a minor in human development psychology.
Was that a lot? Like, were you able, did you miss a lot of softball and field hockey? Did you have to like miss certain off-season practices and stuff because of the other sport? Or were you able to mix and match and get everything you needed to on a consistent basis?
So, you know, we tell our student athletes to be student athletes. I'd say in my time in college, we were more athlete students. So I tried to schedule my classes for the morning so that I'd miss less classes. But we never once were required to skip practice to go to class. If you had a game, you missed class. You went to the game. For practices, it was a little different. You know, if you had a lab or something like that, you'd have to go to class. I was thankfully able to drop my science block, so I never had those evening long lab periods. I don't think I ever missed a practice for class ever.
How about just playing two sports? Were there ever crossovers where fall practice for one led into the regular season practice? And did you have to juggle that at all?
So thankfully, there's the winter sport break. So hockey typically ran from August to November if you made playoffs. And then the spring season for hockey wouldn't pick up till about February, March. And softball, likewise, we would start when we came back in January. That would run through May. So when I was in hockey season in the fall, I didn't play any softball. And when I was in spring season for softball, I didn't play any field hockey. There was overlap, but you only focused on your in-season sport.
Did that help keep each sport fresh, that you didn't get burnt out? You would play and then, okay, now time to switch. And did that almost make it more enjoyable? Because a lot of sports now in college, any level, any sport, it's 12 months a year. Like, there's off-season programs and off-season trips and fall seasons for spring sports, stuff like that. Did having the two different help not let one run you down where you almost got tired of it?
I think just in general with kids, when parents or coaches target them to play just one sport, it's too much. You develop bad habits. You're muscles get tired out from just that one repetitive motion, whatever the sport is. So I think it was beneficial. Absolutely. I enjoyed both settings were drastically different. My teammates for field hockey were drastically different than my softball teammates. The skill set we did in both of those was drastically different. And I think to some degree, there was some overlap of skills I had in softball helped me in hockey, and some skills I had in hockey helped me in softball. But I do think, like I previously said, being older now and looking back, do I wish I would have just targeted on one sport? I do, because I think the off-season workouts are really important to growing you as a player. So I do think that I could have benefited probably from just playing one sport, but I mean, I wouldn't change the fact that I had the opportunity to do something that a lot of people don't have, to play two sports in college. That was a great experience. And I have a lot of great friends over both teams, and I'm still close with both of my coaches. So I wouldn't change it necessarily.
Position wise, what did you play in softball?
I was recruited as a third baseman, but we had a sophomore junior third baseman when I came in. So I ended up playing the outfield mostly. I did catch our pitchers during pitchers and catchers because we didn't have enough. And I played some first base, but mainly outfield.
You mentioned the two sports, there were parts of the skill set that overlap. What were they? And did you realize it as a kid, as a college kid, that, oh, wait, this thing I do for this, lo and behold, it feels a lot like what I'm doing it for that. Was there that recognition?
I think so, especially for the eye-hand coordination. A lot of goalkeepers struggle with aerial balls early on because we target focus heavy on their feet or their legs during drills. I think my ability to catch a ball and see a ball into my hand probably helped me a lot in field hockey, being able to stick my stick out, which would be like a softball bat. Meeting a ball is the same general concept. So I think that crossed over there. And then drop stepping in the outfield is really no different than drop stepping if you're a little high in the circle, drop stepping to a post or to get to a spot to stop a shot. So I do think that I recognized some of that early on, probably not purposefully, but yeah.
Did you always figure that you would coach somehow in one sport or the other?
I didn't really have a desire to coach when I initially got out of high school or college. I did, while I was in the police academy, I went to Mansfield. So while I was there that fall, I did volunteer coach the goalkeeper / assistant coach. We didn't have an assistant coach when I went there. So I did stay on and help coach there as well. And then I coached JV 1 year at Pottsgrove. I was able to coach junior varsity for a season there. And I did some goalkeeper specific coaching with Excalibur club team out of Pottstown as well. I just didn't think, I mean, I didn't really have the time until recently. I was playing on 3 to 4 softball teams a summer, as well as 2 field hockey teams. So pretty much every night after work or every weekend, I was away playing some type of sport. But as I've grown older and needed to maintain my body a little better, I've backed off some of those. So now I have a little more time. I don't really have more time, but I find more time to coach. And Janelle and I play masters field hockey together. We've been playing together for years. So it was just seemed the right thing to do to join her on staff there.
Did you always want to be a cop growing up? Like, was that always your career goal?
People always ask that question. And I don't know that I have a definite answer. I wanted to be a doctor, but I knew I didn't want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on schooling. So I guess it was just the next natural progression. I have a lot of firefighters in my family, and you can't talk to fire. It just does what it wants, but you can talk to a person. So I guess my thought was maybe, you know, you can talk to a person that has a gun and convince them to not do something bad, but I can't talk to that fire and tell it to not burn a house down. So maybe it's just the natural progression of public service.
Talk to me a little bit about, do you feel like being a coach and being a detective, a police officer, do you feel like there are skill sets there that overlap as far as maybe talking to people, trying to help people, push people in the right direction, stuff like that? Do you find that they complement each other from that standpoint?
I do believe so. Communication just in general. I communicate with people, you know, in their 80s, all the way down to kids that are 10 years old, sometimes even younger, depending if they're victims or not. So over the year, 17 years that I've been in law enforcement, I've spoken to a lot of people. And I think that translates to being a coach. You can't teach every kid the same way. So you have to learn the way they receive information to be able to get your point across. And I think that's the same in my career. Not every person is going to receive the information you give them and process it the same way. So I think that's the main overlap between the two things. And you deal with people from all walks of life in my career, and not every kid that I coach has the same background. So you just have to be aware and supportive of multiple backgrounds that they have.
Time to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Heather Long in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. This new year, discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now let's return on One-on-One with Matt Leon to our conversation with Ursinus assistant field hockey coach Heather Long.
Do you feel like, having never played the field in field hockey and being so focused on goalkeeper, do you feel at any point that that hurt you, like as far as from a strategic standpoint, maybe understanding what players are trying to do? Because just the goalie is such a unique position, it doesn't really, there are a lot of things that it doesn't apply to the field players, but I also often feel like that if you've got that experience in the field, it can help you as a goalie. Is there any point you felt like that hurt you?
I didn't realize it until I started playing masters field hockey, which is for men and women over the age of 35. So early on, I just, even if we watched game film and things like that in college, I'd only focus on what was happening within the 25 or in the 16-yard circle. I didn't really care what was happening outside that, not realizing, oh, well, if I watch my offense develop, I'll see what they're doing, which could help me read an offense that's coming down on us. So it wasn't really until I started coaching at Ursinus and listening to Janelle talk about the press or our outletting and things like that, that I got a better understanding of the rest of the game of field hockey, which I always felt like I could anticipate the ball pretty well anyway. But now I feel like my anticipation level of what's about to occur is greater based on the fact that now I watch the entire game of field hockey and try to learn about the entire game of field hockey instead of just focusing on my quarter of the field.
And Janelle, just for people's reference, is Janelle Benner. She's the head coach of the Ursinus field hockey team, and she's an alumni of this podcast as well. You mentioned the Masters, and you've had a lot of success, a lot of opportunity with the over 35 team going to the Masters World Cup. I think you just took part in something a couple months ago. How did you get involved with the Masters World Cup? Was this something that the opportunity came to you, something you tried out for? How does it work?
Yeah, so I had no idea that there was a level of play after the national team. I was probably in my early 30s playing in a club league down in Tallmadge at Christopher Dock High School. And one of my friends on another team said, are you 35 yet? And I said, no. And she said, okay, well, when you turn 35, you should try out for this program. And I was like, oh, okay. So a couple years went by and I got an email from USA Field Hockey that said, I guess it gets mass shipped out to all of the email addresses and all the servers for all the club teams. And it was like, try out for the 2018 World Cup in Barcelona. And I was like, asked her, is this what you're talking about? She's like, yeah, you should try out. So our tryouts for that were in the summer of 2017. They ran about 6 months. The tryouts did during that time period. I actually tore my hamstring. So I missed about a month of those tryouts, but was able to make our last training date. That was in December or January of 2017, 2018. And then the team was announced in February of 2018 for a August World Cup of that year. So yeah, there's training dates or tryout dates that happen yearly that you have to attend in order to be considered for the teams.
Was it wild to you when you made it?
Yeah, I like couldn't believe it was happening. You know, I got invited to one of the underlying camps for the national team when I was in my early 20s. Unfortunately, the date of that training camp was the same day as an interview I had at the police department, and I knew field hockey wouldn't pay the bills. So I opted to test instead of going to the training date, which paid off for me in the long run. And I'm still able to now, as an older adult, well, younger adult, represent our country and play at a high level. So it all worked out in the end.
I'm curious, even though you obviously made the right decision, did that eat at you, not being able to take that opportunity? Like just from a competitive and a what if standpoint, or was it, hey, this is what I want to do. This worked out. And yeah, it's unfortunate, but what are you going
to
do?
I think it worked out how it's supposed to. I don't regret not going. I like to think about my future and retirement a lot. And knowing that I got hired when I got hired gives me the opportunity to retire pretty young. And I can continue to play field hockey into my 70s, like some of my friends that I call the grown-ups play. And I get to watch them play and think, oh, great. I don't have to stop playing this now. I can play this past retirement when I can just play field hockey and work out every day.
So you're on that over 35 team and you go to Spain. Like, how surreal was just the whole experience? Did you have moments of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this?
It's funny because my mom went with and she had said to me, are you nervous? And I said, no. She goes, what do you mean you're not nervous? And I'm like, I've never had this many good people in front of me playing before. So why would I be nervous? She goes, well, I'm nervous. And I said, well, were you not nervous before? And she's like, well, it's different. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, it was a little bit, but not really. It's kind of like you picked me to be here and now I'm here and I'm going to do the best I can. Some of the venues we got to play in was surreal. Like we got to see where the Olympics were played in Barcelona back in the 90s. That was surreal. Like being like, oh, we're here. Wow, this is weird. Or seeing people that are in the older age groups who were Olympians that were supposed to go to Barcelona or things like that, being around them was surreal. Like I'm really here next to people who were named to those teams. That was a little surreal.
Did you enjoy the field hockey or the life experience more? Not just from that first one, but from all these you do. Is it about the field hockey or is field hockey, as much as you love it, is just kind of the vehicle to have the kind of this once in a lifetime experience?
Yeah, it's about field hockey. Like when I'm there to win and to play hard, but there's a happy balance, I believe. Most of our coaching staff and staff understands that it's fully self-funded. So we are paying our own way to get to these countries to play in the tournaments. It's not funded at all by USA Field Hockey. So therefore, they understand the ability to be able to see things, see the countries you go to as well as being there to compete. Winning is fun. And the sole reason I'm playing is because I want to win and I want to bring home medals. But it's also nice to be able to go see countries and places that I probably would never go to if field hockey didn't take me there. So there is a happy balance, I believe, with playing Masters field hockey between being a tourist and being able to see things, but knowing when it's time to get down to business, that you're taking care of your body, you're drinking water, you're eating appropriately, you're doing the things necessary to set yourself up for success on the field when the time comes.
Better goalie now or when you were in college?
Different. I'm a different goalie. Back then, I was just running around like my hair was on fire, playing like a maniac. And now I think I'm more calculated and poised and play with more precision than I did then.
How much does still competing and competing at such a high level, does that help you when you are coaching and working with goalies that you're still connected to being in the game? A lot of times I think coaches fall into it, becomes more of a thought exercise and more of a, well, just do this. This is how it's supposed to work. And you still can have the appreciation for, this is what I wanted you to do. I know it's difficult. This is how I approached it. I would think that really kind of helps you connect.
I think it does. I think it's important to still be within the game, even if you're not playing, but to be coaching more than just in your skill set, because then you have the technical skills that they need every day to execute the move or the ability to stop the ball or play the ball or do whatever they need to do. But then you're getting the tactical skills as well, which is reading the field, executing an entire play, executing with your defense as a whole, which I'm not sure that you can teach that if you also aren't still playing. I mean, are there times when a goalkeeper asks me, well, when should I come out of the cage? Yeah, they ask me that a lot. I don't necessarily have the answer because it's different every time. But I think because I still play, I have the general understanding of, well, yeah, at this point, you should probably make a move or at that point, you should stay home. So I don't know that you could have that answer, even in general terms, if you aren't still playing.
We mentioned Spain. I think you've been to Argentina. I think you've been to England with the Masters. If there are other places I've missed, like if you have a favorite, like if you could travel back to one of those places just to be there, was there just one that made a real impact on you?
I would probably have to say, although I didn't enjoy the food in England, probably England was the best because I got to see people from when I was, so the camp that I went to as a high school student, I also then coached at 5 years after high school. And I got to see people from South Africa and England who are my friends at camp that I hadn't seen in 20 years. My friend who lives in England actually came down for 3 days, from the 3 days worth of the tournament just to watch me play. And I haven't seen her in person since probably 2003, 2004. And then I didn't even realize it until we played South Africa. I look over and their head coach was one of our other coaches at camp. And we've reconnected at that point. And now we talk and things again. So probably England, just from a standpoint of seeing people that live all over the world who I haven't seen in 20 years and reconnecting with them, or, you know, not seeing somebody for 20 years and them being so excited that I'm coming to their country instead of them coming to mine. And wanting to come and hang out for 3 days at the tournament.
So when you take part in these Masters, World Cups and such, like about how long are you gone? A couple weeks, is it?
It averages the outdoor World Cups. The tournament lasts about 10 days, 10 or 11 days. You have to be there early, so about 2 weeks. And then the Indoor World Cup, which Janelle Benner and I are heading to in March, that one is shortened. It's a 5-day tournament, so you're gone about 10 days for that one, 7 to 10 days.
Talked about field hockey kind of being a release for you from police work. I'm curious, when you go away for one of these and you're competing and you're in a special location and stuff like that, how difficult does it then make it when you have to come back to work and you get hit upside the head with maybe an awful case that you have to look into? Does it make it difficult to transition back into police work, or not really? Is it just like you went on a vacation and now you're back and it's time to get back to work?
In my new job, it's much easier because when I leave, during the time I'm gone, I don't get assigned anything new. Where at my old job, when I'd leave, when I'd come back, there'd usually be, you know, 10, 20, 15 cases waiting for me. So that was always trying, knowing you're away and the work's just piling up on your desk. Where now I go away and I come back and I feel refreshed and I can just get right back into whatever I had when I left. Nothing new, just what I had when I left.
You mentioned indoor, outdoor. For people that aren't familiar, what's the difference? Because I know I played soccer growing up, and the outdoor game and the indoor game, almost two different games. It is soccer, yes, but the skill set, you know, the strategy stuff, completely different. What's the difference? How does it make it different in field hockey?
They are completely different sports as well. I did not play indoor growing up because I played softball. So outdoor field hockey is similar to soccer, where you play it on a full size field, like a football field. The cages are a little bit bigger. The circle or the area you can shoot from is bigger. You can use aerials, or where you lift the ball, at all parts of the field. When you switch to indoor, it's kind of more like ice hockey if you took out the ability to lift the ball. So there's each side of the court, which is a little bit bigger than a basketball court, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I haven't been playing indoor for that long. But there's boards. And when I say boards, I mean like a 4x4, like wood board or metal board on the side of the courts. The ends of the courts are open. So if it goes over the end line, it's just like in regular field hockey. But it's different because there's only 5 field players and a goalkeeper. And you're able to use the boards to bounce the ball like in pool to get the ball around somebody or something like that. And the only time you're allowed to lift a ball in indoor field hockey is when it's a shot on cage from within the circle, which is much closer. I think it's about 10 yards. Instead of 16, maybe even less than that. And the cages are slightly smaller. Not a ton, but a little bit smaller.
Strictly from a goalkeeper perspective, how does the skill set focus change from outdoor to indoor? What do you have to focus more on indoor than maybe on outdoor?
In indoor, you have to be more proactive and just active in general. So in outdoor, I'll sit back. I won't say sit back, but you just play your angles and play the ball more so. Where an indoor, you may go out and double team a person with the ball, with a field play. If they get to the corner, you're probably going to step out the end line because they can't lift the ball across the circle. They have to try to go through you, which is a foul. So they can't do that. So you have to be way more active in indoor. There's a lot more breakaways or 2-on-1s. It's just a more fast-paced game that requires a little bit more agility and the ability to move about and read the play as it's happening, where outdoor is significantly slower than indoor. So the skill sets required for both are different. But when it comes down to the basics, like angles, keeping your head over your foot to clear the ball, that's all the same.
Overall, what is your favorite part of what you do with regards to field hockey?
Probably going to Ursinus every day and coaching the kids. I call them kids because they are young enough to be my children. But I'd say going there every day, they get so excited when I show up. Sometimes I miss practices for work or I have to leave. And when I show back up, and the enjoyment on their face to see that I'm there is like, oh, okay. There's people that are happy to see me. So I try to not miss anything, even though I'm volunteer. I have every single practice on my schedule. And if I can make every single practice, unless it's for work, that's what I try to do because it's important to them and they are the bright spot in the day.
How difficult is it from a coaching standpoint when you're playing, you're in control? You can do it. You rise and you fall, but it's you. When you're a coach, you can tell the kid, do this, do that, watch this. This is where they're going to come from. But they've got to do it. Is it difficult to cede that control and to know that kind of your ability to change things ends at the chalk, like that there's only so much you can do?
Absolutely. I mean, we try to set the kids up for success the best that we can and give them all the skills and mental ability necessary to have a positive outcome. Standing on the sidelines is probably the hardest position in athletics because you're right. You have zero control over the outcome of what happens. I never think that I could get out there and make the team do better. That's not what it's about. It's about giving them the ability and the skills to succeed and have a positive outcome, no matter what that is, whether it's winning or losing or just growing a little bit in the game itself or within even that game. I hope that they never feel that way, that we're looking at them in a certain light and that they believe that we gave them the skill sets to succeed. But yeah, it's really hard to stand there on the sidelines. I guess I don't realize how stressful it was, so I started doing it again and being at the games. But as soon as the seasons end, there's a lot of aches and pains in my body that go away, probably from the stress of standing on the sidelines, but I wouldn't change it.
Heather Long, this was so much fun. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that will do it for this episode of One on One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank our Ursinus College assistant field hockey coach Heather Long for being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One on One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.